Thanks very much for joining us for this edition of Press TV's World News. We're going to cross over live now, in fact, to Damascus, where the Syrian Foreign Minister Walid Muallim is speaking. Let's listen in to what he has to say.
The Arab world and the international community are still watching what is taking place in Gaza without putting a stop to this terrorist aggression, without putting a stop to the blood spilling in to the bloodshed in Gaza, and fulfilling the aspirations of the Palestinian people in lifting the siege on Gaza, on the Gaza Strip. You are witnessing what is taking place in Yemen, the brotherly nation, and what is more dangerous is what is taking place in Iraq and in Syria. The most important events which were witnessed by the world was the Security Council resolution, adopting resolution 2170 with respect to fighting the terrorism of ISIL and the Nusra Front in Syria and in Iraq. We in Syria, we welcome this resolution, although it came late, and we are committed to this resolution, and we hope and we welcome all countries who will also be committed to this resolution. It came under Chapter 7 and it is obligatory. It is binding for all sides. The most important points in this resolution is that it stresses on previous resolutions which were adopted by the Security Council in the area of fighting terrorism. And it reaffirms the independence of the Republic of Iraq and the Syrian Arab Republic, and the sovereignty of both nations, and the territorial integrity of both nations, and the unity of both nations, and it also stresses on the Charter of the UN and the principles of this Charter, which underscore respect of sovereignty and national independence. And it also reaffirms that terrorism in all its forms poses one of the most dangerous threats to international peace and security, and that any terrorist act is a criminal act which is unjustified, whatever be the justifications, whatever be the timing, and whoever may be behind these acts. Therefore, the issue is clear. The resolution was adopted unanimously by the Security Council members. This stresses that after years have passed, after years since the beginning of the crisis in Syria, what we had called for during this period regarding drying up the roots of terrorism, or eradicating the roots of terrorism when it comes to financing, giving refuge, providing weapons from the neighboring countries of Syria, we all warned of the danger of this. We cautioned about the possibility of this terrorism expanding to the neighboring countries and even to further beyond. Nobody listened, but finally, they came with this resolution. The resolution highlights the necessity that terrorism cannot be defeated except if there is steadfastness, a steadfast approach which includes all countries participating and all international organizations and regional organizations participating, and their effective cooperation in order to prevent the terrorist threats and to isolate them and to paralyze them. I don't want to read to you the whole resolution, but indeed there are points which we must highlight and which show and underscore our stance. Even the incitement on terrorism and the terrorism ideology must also be stopped. We must prevent the exporters of this ideology from continuing with this exporting, and they are well known. What are ISILs? What is the ideology of ISIL and the Nusra? What is their ideology based on? This terrorist incitement must be stopped. Actually, there are many paragraphs which speak about prohibiting the financing, preventing the terrorists from infiltrating, also putting a stop to the foreign fighters from coming and entering the border of Syria, the borders of Syria and Iraq, and putting a stop to the destruction acts targeting the educational, religious institutions and cultural institutions. Many paragraphs which are stressed by this resolution. As I said, this is a binding resolution for all UN Security Council or for all UN members. Now, this resolution was adopted on August 15, and we are now just about at the end of the month of August. The question, therefore, which is posed, have we sensed any serious international steps, genuine international steps, in order to implement this resolution? Now, I read an interview for one of the leaders of the ISIL organization in the Washington Post, which was published last week. He says, this person says, that the ISIL cooperation with Turkey is close cooperation. When they go to Turkey, they are given a red carpet welcoming, and they are also able to treat their wounded in Turkey. Is this within the framework of Resolution 2170? Another point. Yesterday, the American journalist who was kidnapped by al-Nusra was freed, and we welcome the freeing of him. However, a statement was issued by the Qatari Foreign Ministry which says that the Qatari efforts led to the release of this individual. Therefore, these efforts, aren't they related to the al-Nusra terrorist organization? Prior to that, we heard one of the German ministers saying that the Germans have information regarding Qatar financing al-Nusra organization. I want to see and I want to sense, as a Syrian citizen, real commitment regarding the implementation of all the points of this resolution from all countries, especially the neighboring countries of Syria. So, I would like to underscore that Syria is ready to cooperate and to coordinate on the regional level and the international level in fighting terrorism in order to implement UN Security Council Resolution 2170 and within the framework of respecting sovereignty, the sovereignty and independence of Syria, and considering that the Syrian government is the one which represents sovereignty, therefore any efforts to fight terrorism must be taken in coordination with the Syrian government. And therefore, we hold the international community, we hold it responsible for implementing the Security Council Resolution 2170, and this stance will be a very important issue in Syria's diplomatic activity in the upcoming stage. I would like now to give room for the questions. Mr. Minister, if you allow me, according to what the journalists agreed upon, we have the sequence. The first from Rabda Martini, the editor-in-chief of Tashreen. Thank you very much for the clarification, Mr. Minister. I find that you always accuse the West of encouraging terrorism. Today, after this international resolution 2170, what do you await from this same West? And what about the transformations in the region after this development? I find that this is based on a British project, a British plot. The news always was leaked that Britain was supporting this issue, this project. And there was also a map which says that ISIL's borders is like this in cooperation with Britain and Turkey. So I find, how can the countries adopt such a resolution, and how can the situation develop in the region within the framework of this resolution? We, our stance was always based on the actions which we saw on the ground. We found, and we also have documents who show, or which show, who finances terrorists in Syria and also who arms those terrorists in Syria. And our stance, our political and media stance, reflected this position. Today, what do we await from the West? Our stances will remain as they are until the West proves that there is a real serious change, not just in words, but also in action, when it comes to how it views terrorism inside Syria. Assaf Aboud from BBC. Mr. Waleed Al-Muallim, after what was asked by Dr. Raghida, my question is, Syria is ready to cooperate on the regional and international level to fight terrorism within the framework of respecting sovereignty and considering the Syrian government as the representative of the sovereignty. Therefore, the cooperation must be with the Syrian government. But we have information which says that there was secret cooperation between you and America and Britain in secret military operations which were carried out on Syrian soil. How true is this? Yes. If there is secret cooperation, how did you get the information? Yes, it was. There was an announcement that the Americans said they launched special operations, military operations for special forces. If there were such cooperation, if the media information is true about an American military operation on Syrian territory, which took place and failed, if there was preemptive cooperation, I assure you that the possibility of its failure would be very weak. There is no cooperation or contacts by a third party. We heard about Germany. Yes, they did say Germany, but this is all in the media only. But let's put everything in the appropriate context. We are ready to cooperate and to coordinate with the regional countries and with the international community in confronting terrorism within the framework of the UN Security Council resolution. Even Britain and America, yes, we welcome anyone. Yes, regarding the release of the American journalist, you saluted this step, but we didn't hear the point of view of the Syrian government when it comes to the execution of American journalist James Foley. And we heard that the British government was able to identify the killer. What's the Syrian stance towards these developments? First of all, we condemn the killing of the American journalist Foley. We condemn it in the harshest terms, and we condemn the killing of any civilian, any innocent civilian. However, I would like to ask you a question. Did you hear a Western condemnation for the massacres which are being committed by ISIL and al-Nusra against the Syrian armed forces and against the Syrian citizens? Although there are tens of victims, but regardless, we do condemn the killing of the American journalist Folly. Rania Zannoun from Syrian Satellite TV. Thank you very much. Mr. Minister, you said that Damascus is ready, completely ready to cooperate in order to implement Resolution 2170. The question, because this is in accordance with Chapter 7, what are the guarantees Damascus got so that the resolution couldn't be used for other means and might be used to violate Syria's sovereignty? The second part of the question, we hear in the media talk about an international regional coalition to fight ISIL, which Damascus will be a primary part of. We ask here, what is the possibility of direct cooperation between Washington and Damascus? Because we heard the British Foreign Minister saying there can be no cooperation with the government in Damascus. First of all, Damascus is not separated from its government. I said that this cooperation must take place with the Syrian government, which symbolizes the national sovereignty, and this is in agreement with the first paragraph of the resolution, Resolution 2170. We are ready to cooperate regionally and internationally, whether it be within a international coalition or a regional coalition or bilateral cooperation, whoever wants to cooperate. However, we must sense a serious approach in such cooperation and we must not sense double standards. Question inaudible. Any violation of Syrian sovereignty from any side is an aggression. Dr. Ali Qasim, Editor-in-Chief of Athora newspaper. Mr. Minister, of course, Syria, for years, since years, has been demanding and calling for eradicating the roots of terrorism. After the adoption of this resolution, what about the neighboring countries? Do you have any information regarding the commitment of these countries to the resolution, and is there any mechanism maybe to monitor and follow up the implementation of this resolution by these countries and other countries, especially as it's not only related to the neighboring countries but even further beyond? Thank you very much. Unfortunately, we haven't sensed until now a commitment by the neighboring countries to implement this resolution. Maybe because they haven't sensed yet that the danger of ISIL and al-Nusra will not stay only or target Syria and Iraq, but will spread to regional countries as well and further beyond. However, until now, we haven't sensed, and I gave you two examples, Turkey and Qatar. Unless the regional countries don't commit themselves to eradicate terrorism and commit to this resolution and to eradicate terrorist ideology which is exported, unless this happens, I say the resolution will remain ink on paper and the danger will increase against them. So therefore, from here, I call on all sides to sense the danger and, for the sake of their own natural interests, to take the initiative and to cooperate in fighting this terrorism. Mrs. Dima Nassif, the Bureau Chief of Al Mayadeen TV. Mr. Minister, within this talk about the resolution, the Joint Chief of Staff in the United States, Martin Dempsey, said that no military operation can succeed against ISIL unless it's attacked in Syria. Will you allow U.S. strikes in Syria without a without a prior understanding between both countries, and we also have the Arab group of the so-called Friends of Syria, which held a meeting in Jeddah. Are you awaiting a different Arab stance towards Syria, at least from those countries who supported the armed groups, and can we witness a quick, imminent return of Syria to the Arab League? First of all, with regards to airstrikes in Syrian airspace, I said that we are ready to coordinate and to cooperate because we are the sons of this country and we know if the airstrike can be effective or not. So therefore, he who wants to launch an aggression against Syria has no justification except to coordinate with us if he does want to fight terrorism. Anything else, anything outside this context, is considered an aggression. We welcome any efforts against al-Nusra and ISIL. However, the question which is asked, the airstrikes by themselves, will they be enough to eliminate ISIL and al-Nusra? I don't believe so. I say that first of all, we must eradicate the roots of terrorism, and the neighboring countries must also be committed to curbing their borders and exchanging intelligence information with us. There must be a stop to the financing and the armament. Of course, ISIL doesn't need financing, so it has its resources. So we must put a stop to its stealing of the Syrian and Iraqi oil. Where is it going to? What's it using it for? It's clear how it's using this oil, how it's being allowed to use it. So from here I say that the first step in a serious approach is not to launch an aggression on the sovereignty of others. The first is serious political efforts in order to eradicate the roots of terrorism, then cooperation with the Syrian government, because we know more than the others about what is going on in our territories. Then joint international efforts to fight terrorism. Now, regarding the second part of your question, I haven't sensed that there was a statement from the five countries which were meeting in Jeddah. There is some talk in the media about their disagreement or about their agreement, but I'd like to highlight a very fundamental point. If the goal of this meeting is to find a political solution for the Syrian crisis, then the political solution for the Syrian crisis will not come except via dialogue between the Syrians under the Syrian leadership and in Syrian territory. The results of this dialogue is what will be implemented. All sides, even those who are participating in dialogue, must respect the will of the Syrian people, which was reflected at the ballot boxes. Second, all efforts must be exerted in Syria and outside Syria in fighting terrorism. So, any political solution which is imposed from the outside is rejected. If the goal is to help in fighting terrorism, then I tell those who are meeting, let them begin with themselves, first of all, those who are meeting in Jeddah. Put a stop to the donations and the financing to the terrorist organizations. Curbing the borders and exchanging intelligence information with us. And the third point is putting a stop to the ideological incitement which they are exporting to us and which is being adopted by these organizations. In this way, we fight terrorism. Nizal Al-Farra from Assama TV. Mr. Minister, ever since the adoption of Resolution 2170, is there any cooperation and coordination between Syria and Russia regarding this resolution? And if there will be contacts with the West in the future, will Russia be kept informed about what is taking place between Damascus and the West? 2.5 hours ago, I was speaking on the phone with Minister Lavrov, and we discussed the resolution, and we also discussed the importance of Russia taking steps on the international and regional level in order to establish cooperation and coordination at the regional and international levels to fight terrorism. And I would like to assure you that there is complete agreement in the Russian and Syrian stances, and the contacts taking place are part of the ongoing coordination between the foreign ministries of Syria and Russia. Raneem Rida from Al Ahed Channel. Mr. Minister, the developments in Turkey, could they take Turkey into a better situation in its regional relations, or what has taken place, will it not lead to any change? Second of all, we heard some new Saudi stances and some arrests. Is this the beginning of a change in the Saudi stance at a time whereby the Western media is saying that ISIL is a product of Qatar? First of all, regarding Turkey, I would like to compare between two stances. Turkey before the Syrian crisis, before that time, the Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoğlu used to tell me that their foreign policy in Turkey is a policy of zero problems. Now, who believes that Turkey has zero problems with the neighboring countries? Where are Turkey's foreign relations in the Arab world? Unfortunately, these relations have deteriorated to the lowest level. I say, for the sake of the Turkish people, in the interest of the Turkish people, in defense of Turkish security, Turkey's policy must change in the region. The terrorist organizations have no borders. They have no nation. They have no religion. And Turkey has 850 kilometers of shared borders with Syria. I don't know what the length of a border with Iraq is. And these organizations are on Turkish border areas. Therefore, it is in Turkey's national security interest, and it's in the interest of Turkey's people to reconsider the Turkish stances. The second part of your question, what was it? About Saudi Arabia. I welcome any positive stance. If Saudi Arabia views that these stances are in defense of its own interests, there is no contradiction between our interests and Saudi interests. Any steps which decrease the influence of the Wahhabist ideology inside or outside, any acts which hold those who are fighting in Syria with a terrorist organization, which holds them accountable, any such step or act is good. But it is not enough. It is not enough at all. This is not the way to deter these terrorist organizations. Safa Muhammad from AMB channel. Mr. Minister, is it required if we have life once again, and if we have the cooperation once again between the Arabs who are represented by the Friends of Syria and the sovereign government, does this include abandoning the opposition which you support or which is supported by those sides? I don't know where the coordination is, where the Syrian opposition coalition is, but I like to say very clearly that this cooperation and coordination which we are proposing is based on one condition. seriousness and not applying double standards. You cannot, or there cannot be attempts, serious attempts, to weaken Syria and isolate Syria economically and isolating its army at the same time, whereby some allege that they are fighting terrorism. Who will confront ISIL and al-Nusra in Syria? Will it not be the Syrian army, the perseverance of our people? Aren't they the ones who fighted ISIL and al-Nusra? So I'm not saying Syrian National Opposition Coalition or not. I don't look at these issues. I say he who wants to cooperate with us must be committed and serious and abandon double standards in his stance. Mr. Hasegawa.
Let me ask in English. I'm from Kyodo News Agency from Japan. There's a growing concern with Daesh or Islamic State among Western countries. And senior American officials say attacking Daesh targets in Syria is an open option. Is Syrian government ready to coordinate with American forces, or Syrian forces could shoot down American aircraft?
معالي الوزير ثمة قلق غربي من العمليات التي يقوم بها تنظيم داعش في سوريا والعراق ومؤخرا صرح مسؤول أمريكي بأن الولايات المتحدة قد تقوم بعمليات عسكرية ضد هل هناك تنسيق بين الحكومة السورية و
Until now, there is no such coordination.
Should we shut down? Sorry, what about the aeroplanes?
Syrian forces could shoot down American aircraft.
وما إذا كانت القوات السورية قد تسقط الطائرات الأمريكية إذا قامت بهجمات فوق الأراضي السورية.
First of all, we proposed coordination and cooperation.
First, we proposed coordination and cooperation with everyone.
The aim of this cooperation is to prevent the aggression against Syria.
The objective is to prevent any aggression against Syria.
And second of all, to prevent any misunderstandings. Because we have anti-air defenses, and if there is no coordination, we could reach, this event could happen.
Second, to prevent any case of misunderstanding, because we have air defense forces, and we want to prevent any action like the one you mentioned.
I pointed out to the UN Charter, and the Charter and what is mentioned in this Charter, they prohibit any assault or aggression against the sovereignty of other countries.
The UN Charter and the objectives of that charter, which prevent any act of aggression against any sovereign country.
Therefore, for this reason, we preemptively are proposing cooperation and coordination to prevent the aggression.
Coordination and cooperation in advance in order to prevent any act of aggression.
And to block the road to any justification. When they say that fighting ISIL in Iraq is not enough and they must fight it in Syria, we say, come and let's coordinate.
And in order to prevent also any kind of justification or pretext when they say that it's not sufficient to act against Daesh in Iraq, and that maybe there should be action against Daesh in Syria, we ask them to cooperate and coordinate.
Muhammad Ali from Press TV.
Mr. Al-Muallim, you have just noted that Syria is willing to cooperate with any country to fight terrorism. And we have to also note that the United Nations resolution is also perhaps an acknowledgement of the presence of such a threat. The question here is, how serious does the Syrian government think and see the seriousness, actually, of the countries that have been accused by the Syrian government of supporting those armed groups inside Syria. How serious do you think that those countries will be actually taking action on ground and implementing the UN resolution in order to fight those groups, especially that the United States itself has provided a lot of weapons to armed groups in Syria, and some of those weapons that the U.S. said are going to what they describe as moderate armed groups fell in the hands of also Islamists and extremists at the end of the day. So how serious do you think that the countries are in fighting the those armed groups inside Syria, and would this mean that this shifting of stances, the end of the unrest, especially that the leadership, Syrian leadership, said that when stopping terror, stopping the funding and the support of militants means almost the end of those armed groups? Thank you.
مع الوزير لقد ذكرتم إمكانية التعاون والتنسيق مع الجميع في سبيل مكافحة الإرهاب وقرار مجلس الأمن 2170 يشير إلى ضرورة محاربة الإرهاب في المنطقة ما مدى تقييمكم لجدية الدول الغربية في مكافحة الإرهاب وخصوصا في وقف تمويل وتسليح هذه المجموعات الإرهابية خصوصا وأن بعض الدول الغربية التي تدعي بأنها تمول وتسلح مجموعات معتدلة وفي المحصلة تقع هذه الأسلحة وهذا التمويل في أيدي المتشددين مرة أخرى ما مدى جدية هذه الدول في نظركم في محاربة الإرهاب وهل تعتقدون أن تجفيف منابع الإرهاب سيفضي بالتأكيد إلى نهاية الأزمة في سوريا حيث كنتم قد أشرتم إلى أن وقف تمويل وتسليح الإرهاب سينهي
First of all,
أولاً
The upcoming few days will judge how serious the regional and international countries are in fighting terrorism and implementing the Security Council resolution.
The next few days will show how serious the countries in the region or in the world in the fighting against terrorism.
Up until now, we haven't sensed such seriousness.
So far, we haven't seen any seriousness in this regard.
أما موضوع تصنيف الإرهابيين بين معتدل وغير معتدل فهذا أمر مضحك.
The reason
السبب
is that part of the question speaks about these weapons falling into the hands of the extremist terrorists. And I say that anyone who takes up arms against the Syrian government is a terrorist.
As to classifying terrorists between moderates or extremists, I think this is absurd. We believe that everyone carrying arms against the Syrian government is a terrorist.
Anyone who kills a Syrian, an innocent Syrian citizen, whether he be a civilian or a member of the armed forces, is a terrorist.
Everyone who kills an innocent Syrian individual, whether civilian or in the armed forces, is a terrorist.
And so I say that what the Syrian state is doing, the reconciliations in many different areas in Syria, is a very important point in order to unify the efforts of the Syrian citizens with regards to fighting terrorism.
Hence, the reconciliation efforts conducted by the Syrian state in different parts of Syria constitute an important effort in order to unify the Syrian population in the fight against terrorism.
Mr. Hossein Murtada, Bureau Chief of Al Alam TV. Good afternoon, Mr. Minister. After what you said, and the reality shows that until now there is no serious from the UN, from the countries who adopted this resolution about fighting ISIL and terrorism here, don't you think that what is required is for there to be a practical step, more practical steps by the Syrian government, by the Syrian state, by the alliance which Syria is allied with? Let me speak frankly. because we don't pin our hopes on the international resolution and these states, and as long as these states are continuing to support terrorism, shouldn't there be a clear stance, a practical plan from Syria, Iran, Russia, this alliance from Iraq, even if this required joint military efforts in order to put a limit to ISIL's expansion? The second point, do you think, Mr. Minister, that the visit of Hossein Abdullahian, the Iranian Deputy Foreign Minister to the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, whereby he is scheduled to meet with the Saudi Foreign Minister, do you think this is within the framework of Saudi Arabia backing down from its previous hostile stance against Syria and against the countries of the region in general? I'll begin with the end of your question. If this change in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, if this change will take place after our colleague Abdullahian visits Riyadh, I say that the visit was very late, came very late. I don't believe so. But with regards to the resistance axis, and we are part of the resistance axis, I say that the coordination between us is ongoing on a daily basis, almost on a daily basis, with the members of this axis, and we all stand together in fighting this terrorism. We are the front line which is defending the regional countries and the whole world against this terrorism. He who sees what ISIL and the Nusra is, who sees their true nature, will quickly realize that this organization is a lot more dangerous than the organizations which are present in Afghanistan, whether it be Taliban or Al-Qaeda. And the US and the NATO alliance have been fighting these groups for more than 10 years in those countries, in Afghanistan, for the sake or under the title of fighting terrorism. So how can they weaken Syria and weaken Syria's armed forces and then say we want to confront terrorism? These are the double standards which I refer to. Mrs. Ra'ed Aqaf from Syrian television. Mr. Minister, you mentioned that this cooperation could be within the framework of an international coalition. Where will Damascus' position be in this coalition? Are there any countries also who requested from you such coordination? And with regards to double standards, the resolution stresses that any criminal act is a terrorist act, and today we're in day 50 of the Gaza aggression. Will this also include the Israeli terrorism and crimes in Gaza and the region? I don't differentiate between the UN Security Council resolution regarding fighting ISIL and al-Nusra and the terrorism of Israel in Gaza. I am speaking about a Security Council resolution. Now, with regards to Syria, where its position, what its place will be in this international coalition, it's natural. Geographically, practically, Syria is the center of this international coalition, or can they fight ISIL with binoculars? They must come to Syria to coordinate with Syria in order to fight ISIL and al-Nusra if they are serious. Mr. Abu Talib al-Buhayya from Russia Al-Yawm or Russian TV in Arabic. Mr. Minister, our colleagues, of course, spoke about the resolution, but once again, let's go back into the details to get more clarity regarding the terrorist efforts in Syria represented by the so-called Islamic State and al-Nusra. Does this mean that the Syrian government has agreed, actually, that those who take up arms, like the Islamic Front, and those who are not under these groups or with these groups who were not specified in the resolution can be cooperated with, and can the Syrian state send a message to these forces by this press conference to coordinate with the Syrian army, especially as most of those groups are Syrians, meaning those who are not extremists like the Islamic State, other opposition groups? Could they cooperate with you in this fight? Let me answer the first part of your question. First of all, we in the Foreign Ministry, we sent the Security Council, we sent them documents in order to put the Islamic Front on the list of terrorist organizations. And I'd like to even add, I add further, that anyone who cooperates on the battlefield with al-Nusra and ISIL also would be in agreement with them, and the Islamic Front, whether it be in Arsal or in Lebanon or in southern Syria or in Aleppo, it is cooperating with ISIL. Second, recently in the eastern Damascus countryside, the Islamic Front members arrested fighters who belong to the Islamic Front itself, the brigades of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I think. We arrested them because they tried to enter into national, or they were arrested because they tried to enter into national reconciliation. They were arrested by the Islamic Front. So they don't want, they don't believe in cooperating with the Syrian government in order to confront ISIL. Rather, they are part of the alliance of al-Nusra in their confrontation against the Syrian armed forces. Therefore, I say that such a message doesn't require a message. Anyone who has a sense, a real sense of national responsibility towards his country, people and army must join these efforts in fighting terrorism. Yes, but Mr. Minister, also in your phone conversation with Mr. Lavrov this morning, you spoke about Resolution 2170, and also you spoke about the context of this resolution. Is there a Syrian intention to request from the Russians Russian military escort, real Russian military efforts, not just weapons, maybe some airstrikes in coordination with the Syrian government, Russian airstrikes against some of the positions of ISIL in the eastern part of Syria, similar to what the Americans are doing in Iraq in coordination with the Iraqi government? First of all, I didn't request such assistance. We have, between us and our friends in Russia, we do have economic and military cooperation and political consultations. However, we haven't reached the level of a request requesting Russian airstrikes against positions for the belonging to the ISIL in eastern Syria. Second, as I said, he who judges Russian policy is the UN Charter. Russia doesn't behave outside the circle of the UN Security Council. It doesn't behave unilaterally outside the framework of UN resolutions. However, our military, political and economic cooperation with Russia is close cooperation, and I said just a few moments ago that my point of view and the point of view of Mr. Lavrov were in complete agreement regarding these developments. Mrs. Huda Aboud from Kuwaiti News Agency. Mr. Minister, at the time where the American Vice President called for dividing Iraq into different federalist states, Mr. Wa'am Wahab said yesterday that the Suwaida city in Syria is in danger. He called on the people of Suwaida to defend their country, not to depend on anyone. On the other hand, can you clarify to us what is taking place in Al-Tabaqa airport and the genocide against one of the Arab tribes in the Deir ez-Zor countryside? I don't comment on what this person or that person said. Every Syrian citizen on Syrian territory is the responsibility of the Syrian government, whether he lives in Suwaida or Dir'a or Aleppo or Deir ez-Zor. Therefore, This is something which should take place in coordination with the Syrian government. Second, the Al-Agaidat tribe and other tribes have taken a national heroic stance, and they are paying the price of this stance, and we say, and we stand by their side, and we hope that the other tribes, the other Syrian and Iraqi tribes, we hope that they will also take a similar national stance, like the stance taken by the Al-Agaidat tribe. You spoke about Al-Tabaqa Airport. You witnessed what took place, the heroic defense of our armed forces of the Tabaq Airport. And this led to the killing of tens or even hundreds of the members of ISIL in three waves of attacks on the airport. However, when the Syrian military command, because of its care or because of the Syrian soldiers and the intention of the Syrian command not to put them in danger, they withdrew to other areas, and the airport, military airport, was emptied of its equipment. This is something which happens in all military operations, in all militaries throughout the world. Ghanem Sharafuddin from MBN. Mr. Minister, after ISIL controlled the province of Ar-Raqqa completely and also expanding its operations in Deir ez-Zor today, do you think that it is necessary to quickly go ahead with international coordination to fight terrorism? The second point is that it's clear that the Syrian government and your stance is clear towards the armed groups ISIL and al-Nusra and also some other armed factions in Syria, but the United States is focusing only on ISIL and striking ISIL. Will you request via the international cooperation, will you request an expansion of the airstrikes in order to also include the targeting of al-Nusra and other armed factions? I spoke within the framework of Security Council Resolution 2170. The resolution mentions ISIL and al-Nusra and the other organizations linked to al-Qaeda. So it's not only isolated to ISIL and al-Nusra, and we in the Foreign Ministry, we will continue to document the criminal acts of the Islamic Front in order to place this front also, to name it in this resolution. Now, with regards to the airstrikes, where should they strike, where should they not strike, this is something which will be agreed upon in the military coordination. I cannot speak preemptively. Now, about ISIL's control, ISIL has controlled territories in Iraq and in Syria. And from here is the importance of our warning, how we warn the international community. ISIL has no borders, and therefore, here comes the importance of the timing. I say, the quicker we move, the lesser be the danger posed by ISIL and al-Nusra. Kamal Sakhar from Al Khabar, Iranian TV. Mr. Minister, I would like to ask you about Iraq. In Iraq, we had a political development. Mr. Maliki backed down from his demands, and Mr. Haider al-Abadi will put together a new Iraqi government. Does this impose some kind of a change in your point of view in how Iraq deals with the Syrian issue or in Iraqi-Syrian cooperation? Are you afraid of any changes in this regard? And also, in the Northern Front, Turkey is preparing, Erdogan is president, and Davut Oglu will become prime minister. Are you afraid that are you afraid regarding this party remaining in power in Turkey? First of all, regarding the political developments in Iraq, we had very close ties with Mr. Nouri al-Maliki and his government, And we believe that the honorable stance which was taken by Mr. Maliki as a responsible statesman when he said and when he gave the room for Mr. Haider al-Abadi to put together a government, this step Mr. Maliki took does deserve appreciation. We will continue our cooperation with the new Iraqi government, which we hope will be formed as soon as possible. And the Prime Minister in Syria did send a note of congratulations to Mr. Haider al-Abadi. The cooperation between us and the Iraqis, whether we like it or not, is not political. It's not a policy which we are pursuing. We are fighting a common enemy. We are in the same hole in fighting this enemy. Therefore, coordination and cooperation between the two governments is required and is necessary for the interests of the people of both countries. So we are not afraid, we are not concerned at all. Turkey, Mr. Erdogan succeeded in the presidential elections. He won these elections. Now there is a lot of controversy about the performance of the Turkish opposition and why there wasn't a strong candidate running against Mr. Erdogan. That's their business. However, most important of all is that Mr. Davutoglu to be appointed, or for Ahsan Oglu or anyone to be appointed. This is something related to Turkey. These are Turkish affairs which we don't intervene in. We judge the stances and the policies. And as I said, it is in the interests of Turkey and its people to witness a fundamental change in Turkey's stance towards what is going on in the region in general and especially in Syria. Mr. Hisham Wannous from Venezuelan TV. Mr. Minister, the Pentagon recently announced that it ended the process of destroying Syria's chemical weapons stockpile. After this chemical weapons issue was closed and this file has been closed, and after the failure in using the humanitarian issue to intervene in Syria, don't you think that the UN resolution recently adopted to fight terrorism, don't you think this could be considered as a gateway to intervene in Syria under the pretext of fighting terrorism? If this does take place, what will the response of the Syrian government and its allies be in the region and in the world? First of all, I've said that we welcome this resolution. We are committed to implementing this resolution because the context of this resolution doesn't give anyone a mandate to act unilaterally against any state. It began by speaking about the respect of the independent and sovereignty of Syria and Iraq, and any act which takes place without coordination with Syria, with the Syrian and Iraqi governments, is an aggression. Now, with regards to the United States and its unilateral acts and how it explains the resolutions, look at what happened in Libya after the West acted unilaterally in explaining the Security Council resolution which was related to Libya. Libya was ripped apart, unfortunately, and there is internal fighting inside Libya, and you don't know who rules and who doesn't rule Libya. Mr. Muhammad Aid from Al Manar, the last question. The last question. Mr. Minister, with regards to the security cooperation, which we hope will take place between Syria and the West, you welcome this cooperation. However, honestly, Mr. Minister, who knocked on the doors of the other side regarding this cooperation? Meaning, who needs this cooperation more, Syria or the West? Did you knock on the doors of the West, or did the West knock on the doors of Syria in order to reach this coordination? And if it does take place, what are the limits of this coordination? Will it just be intelligence, exchanging intelligence, or will it also include more? Will it include, for example, military intervention with the Syrian government's approval here or there? First of all, I'd like to reassure you that this coordination hasn't begun in order to respond to say where it shall reach. Second of all, it's not about who needs it more than the other. This is a duty. Fighting terrorism is a duty. And if the international community and the UN and the United States and the member states of the Security Council, had they been committed to the previous Security Council resolutions when it comes to fighting terrorism, we wouldn't have reached the stage which we are witnessing today. Therefore, this is the duty of all sides, and it is not the need of one side on the account of the other. From here, we call on all parties to come and coordinate if they are honest with regards to fighting terrorism, not to defend Syria, but to defend their own national interests and to defend their countries, because terrorism has no borders. Inaudible comment from the journalist. First of all, I said that this depends on the members of the National Opposition Coalition. To what extent do they want to go ahead? We will discuss these matters within the framework of our national interests. Thank you. I apologize.
All right, that was the Syrian Foreign Minister Waleed Al-Muallim speaking live there in the Syrian capital, Damascus, speaking about UN Security Council Resolution 2170, which condemns the gross widespread abuse of human rights by extremist groups in Iraq and Syria. And one of its lines calls on all United Nations member states to act to suppress the flow of foreign fighters, financing and other support to Islamist extremist groups in Iraq and Syria. And the Security Council had that afternoon put six people also affiliated to those groups on its terrorist sanctions list. The foreign minister, they're saying that at this time, that resolution was adopted on August the 15th, he said, and during this period of time between then and now, no action has yet been taken by any of the regional countries or even the international community to try and enforce that resolution, which Syria has fully supported at this time, as it will help it as well in its fight against ISIL, as well as the al-Nusra Front terrorist groups, which it has been battling for a number of years now. He said that this resolution has been passed, though Syria has been insisting for many years and warning for many years about the very threat that ISIL and the al-Nusra Front and others pose to the regional countries at this time. He said it would be good for the regional countries themselves and for their own national interests to enforce this resolution at this time. He, of course, ripped into Turkey, as evidence has come forth now of its support of ISIL and other terrorist groups, as well as Qatar as well, which has also been found to have financed and helped in the foundation and the continuing financing of the ISIL terrorist group, as well as other groups in Syria as well as Iraq. Well, again, that was Waleed Al-Muallim, the Syrian foreign minister, who is speaking there live in Damascus. No doubt we will have further analysis on his statements later on here on Press TV.